Good Saturday morning, St. Louis. You're listening to Rich Orris here hosting the KMOX Home Improvement Show on the last Saturday of this year. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us to talk about home maintenance, repairs, remodeling, everything that helps you take care of the place that you call home. And if you've got a question, the phone lines, like you said, wide open, 314-436-7900. Whether it's a project you want to start in the new year or something that needs attention right now, give me a call and let's talk through it. And it is hard to believe that, wow, this is the last Saturday before New Year's Day. For a lot of folks, that means you might be reflecting on what got done around the house this year, what didn't. Maybe it's time to plan those projects for the year ahead or take care of a few lingering maintenance items before winter really gets worse on us. So, hey, grab your cup of coffee, take a look around your home, start thinking about what you want the new year to bring for you and your home. Then you can join the conversation again right here at 314-436-7900. Don't forget, you can also text in questions on that same number. So, hey, this is the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX, and we've got a lot going for you today. I thought I might start out just kind of ending the year with maybe we're getting some new listeners, some new people joining us, and maybe they're wondering, I don't talk a whole lot about my background, what I do working for Mosby, and kind of how I got into actually doing this radio gig here. And so right now, for a full service remodeling company called Mosby Building Arts, and a lot of everyone knows Scott Mosby, our previous host, was the owner and is the owner of Mosby Building Arts. And so that's an easy in for getting me and coming in and taking his place when he retired. But I've been at Mosby Building Arts for about 24 years now, and started out in working in the field, project management, got hired to manage projects, run multiple projects, kind of guide the workers in timing and scheduling and what needs to happen when and how you get through it effectively and efficiently. And then that just kind of grew as the company grew into seeing some of these great clients that I've worked so closely with as we did more and did more and had more of a need. And then it was harder to see everyone up front, kind of got into this sales consulting gig with Scott and everybody there. And that was interesting because it started out really just kind of helping out some of the clients that would call in that I was their project manager, and they'd be like, hey, do you think you just run here and look at this leaky this or fix that or see what they need to help with this? And then just started morphing into doing more and more of that. So a lot of my work and experience here at Mosby Building Arts kind of just grew and developed and came about sort of naturally as the company just grew and developed the need for different things and more areas and different type of work to be done to keep control and make everything happen with the goal of advising well, having high level of service, getting jobs done on time, communicating very well. We've had all these things we've done in our process that we've strived for pretty much since day one, since I was hired. The conversations, the talk, everything was a lot different. So now today you can go to callmosby.com. You can check us out. You can see what's going on there. You can check out our end of the year promo. You got a few days left to try and get in on that deal. So if you call and make an appointment before the end of the year, you can get in on that. So you can find a lot about me, about all of us, about the mass people that we have around the company and of what we do just by checking out our website, callmosby.com. But hey, we've got Kim on the line, so let's jump over real quick and get that started with Kim. Hey, Kim, how you doing? Thanks for calling. Can you hear me, Kim? I don't think.
Hello?
Kim. Yeah, Kim, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, I got you. What's going on?
Well, I've got a new home built. It's less than a year old, and it's got the concrete wraparound porches on it. And I remember back when I was a kid, our concrete driveway had this type of woolly-like material between the sections. And I was told they don't use that anymore. And when you look down between the sections on my porches, they're cracked already. Is that normal?
So they don't necessarily, it depends on how they did it. So they don't necessarily use that same kind of black foam stuff that you saw years ago, kind of like a fiberboard between the concrete. But you still need to have some sort of expansion joints every so often and control joints, what we call control joints every so often. So
okay, there are gaps between the sections, like maybe an inch to an inch and a half gap. But in the bottom of that gap, it's already cracked. Is that normal?
Yes. Yep. So you've got kind of a wide. Yeah, that's called a control joint. So you've got kind of a wide gap that just dips down about a half inch or three quarters of an inch, kind of curved at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yep. So they do that on purpose. They make that groove there to, and essentially it's done there to weaken the concrete, to try and get the concrete to crack inside of that.
Oh, okay. So it's doing its job because the sections are like 6 feet wide, by 6x4. And every 4 feet, there is one of those joints.
Okay.
And I've got one on the corner. It's cracked from the corner to the house out to the post. And where it's cracked, there's not a joint.
Yeah.
But there's a joint to the either side of it, you know, like 2 feet out on each side of it.
Yep.
So is that something I might want to think about having sealed?
So all of those cracks would be a good idea to do some kind of sealant on them, especially if your porch gets a lot of water, snow, if it's covered, but if you get wind driven in there, if you clean it sometimes, power wash it, keeping water out of those cracks and from running down under that porch is still a great idea. In that other crack, although it's not where they planned it, the corner of the concrete is also one of the weakest spots of the concrete. So it will, it's pretty likely to crack there. So it's, they did a good job with how many they put of the control joints, and they tried their best, but you really can't.
Yeah.
It's nothing against the concrete people that did the work, that there just happens to be a crack coming off the corner. But I would, even in the control joints, you can get the concrete, like urethane-based caulk, type caulk, and caulk in that joint now that it's cracked so that it will keep water, just if rain blows in, then it can just run off that porch out onto the edge of it and off the front and go away that way rather than getting in between there. With it covered, you don't get a whole lot, but it's still not a bad idea. And it's not super hard and it's not super expensive to do.
Okay. All right. Now, is there some type of sealant that they say that you light it? Have you ever heard of that, to where it gets the bubbles out of it? Light it with a lighter?
Oh, no, I have not. I haven't heard of that one.
Okay, so I'll ask my builder, because I know he, on one of the, there was like a hairline crack in the garage. And he said a friend of his that does concrete told him, you know, you use this, blah, 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 and then you light it on fire before it sets up because it gets all the air bubbles out of it. So I'll go back to my builder and ask him if he can tell me what that is.
Yeah, I would definitely be. I would definitely be interested in hearing what that is. I would be under cautious and slightly leery of that. Just of like my porch, the siding actually the J channel on the wall touches the concrete porch.
Mine too.
I would be a little leery of lighting that on fire, and then it burns I would have a fire extinguisher handy.
Very close. I'll just have my builder do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, let them handle that. Yeah, that's not a bad idea either. There's lots of professionals out there that will seal, caulk, and do all that work on concrete. So,
gotcha.
All righty.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate your help.
Yes, no problem. I appreciate your help. And if you find out what that product is, give us a call back another time and let us know. I am curious about that for sure.
I'll do that.
I appreciate it. All right, Kim, thanks for your call. And let's jump right into our first break here. Don't forget, you can find me, like Kim just did, 314-436-7900. Call, ask a question, text in a question, whatever suits your fancy. We'll have more home improvement when we return. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show right here. Rich Orr is here for you today. We got plenty of show, plenty of lines open, and plenty of time for everybody out there. Whatever your need is about around your home, from the foundation to the roof, give me a call. Let me know what's going on. 314-436-7900. We got James on the line. Let's go to James and see how we can help. How you doing, James?
I'm doing well. Good morning. Merry Christmas season.
Yes.
Happy New Year coming.
Happy holidays. Yes, you too.
That's it. I called you a couple weeks ago, and Jill is coming out on Monday to look at the bathroom, look at the wall. Remember the plaster and lath, 100 years old, was coming apart. So,
oh yeah.
And I'm excited about you know, the opportunity here. My question today, when I was looking out the window and there's a bunch of squirrels, six or eight of them, big, fluffy, having a great old time. Well, I just finished with a painter. I was actually paying him off, and I looked up, and I see where the squirrels are eating the aluminum siding off of the fascia, you know, like the part above the roof.
Up.
It's a sloped roof. And the squirrels are eating that again. I see them eating on the neighbor's gutter, and some of the aluminum, I'm going to say fascia might be the wrong word, but they're eating the aluminum. They're the house next door to me, my house, and then across the street. I mean, they're doing real damage. Is there something structurally I can do to put up there to prevent them, or should I move the vinyl siding in that area? Any ideas, please, Rich?
Yeah, that is interesting, because most of the time what we talk about is doing some kind of metal, some kind of aluminum, some kind of metal, that aluminum coil wrap that you wrap that fascia with. Not that they can't get through it, but it's usually a pretty decent deterrent. So that's very interesting. Replacing it with a full plastic PVC trim board, if it's a trim board that's covered in metal, you can consider replacing it with PVC, and that might help keep them from digging all the way through that. That's a little tougher to get through. Looking around your house for access too, like how are they getting there? Are there trees that overhang that get close to the roof lines? That the access points is very important too. And then trying to figure out what they're doing is like, why are they getting in? And then seeing if there's a way to help alleviate or mediate that somewhere else, because right now they're probably, I would have thought they would have been had a pretty good nesting by now, but maybe not, or maybe if it got warm here and they decided to scrummage out and about, and now they're looking for a new place to nest. So usually late in the year they're digging through your siding and your trim boards because they're trying to get into your warm attic and they're looking for a spot to nest. But typically I'm advising cover the wood or the things that they're eating once you replace it with the metal over top of it, and that usually keeps them out because there's no lead or anything. They like the lead boot metal to sharpen their teeth and to eat all that because that lead is sweet. But typically they're not usually eating a lot of metal. So
interesting. So to get to the wood underneath, that's interesting.
Yeah, and just trying to get in. They're just looking probably for a warm spot to be.
That's what I've noticed. And they can either, I mean, it's either brick homes, so they're either going straight up the the front porch pillar, or the electric lines that gets to the, for some reason Ammon ran electric lines off of the back of the house to go to the neighbor's house, which I don't understand, but they said that it had to do it that way.
Anyway, yeah, and if it's brick, usually they can run. I've seen them run straight up a brick wall.
Absolutely.
Pretty incredible. But yeah. So not a lot. I mean, you got access, but you can't do anything about access because it's not just the trees or whatever. So now you just got to look at kind of like what that product is when you go to replace it. If you replace it, you can replace it with a PVC board, and then you can go ahead and wrap it with the metal again to make it look like everything else. And then you got a good 3/4 inch thick chunk of PVC behind it that's pretty hard for them to dig through.
Absolutely. That is. Well, the guy, Amaze Painting, did a wonderful job here. And, I look up and I see where they're eating this again. So
yeah,
I appreciate the information, Rich. I really do. Yeah.
Did you ask him if he could get up there and touch it up before he left? That's really quick.
Yeah, I was looking around, and they just had a baby too. So he was on the way out. As I was looking around and being admiring and being thankful, I looked and I, what in the world? But it happened.
Yep, and if they get inside, I would recommend calling Holper's Animal and Pest Solutions because they do animals. They have a specialist on animals, and so trapping squirrels and all that. They do a lot of that more wildlife. They do the insects, they do termites, they do all the normal pest control just like everybody else, but they get pretty deep into the animal control also, so they're a good resource when you get squirrels or raccoons or anything like that in your attic.
Is that Holper? Holper?
Yep, with an S on the end, Holper's.
With an S on the end. Perfect, Rich. I appreciate it. God bless. Have a great new year, 2026. And like I said, I can't wait to see Jill Monday morning.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, tell Jill I said hey, and I appreciate you giving us a call, giving us a shout, and trying us out. I think you will be very happy. So, all right. Well, you have a good new year, and we'll see what Jill could do for you on Monday.
Thanks, Richard. Again, God bless.
Yep, you're welcome. All right. So, hey, that's great. I remember that call and talking about that. And, I'm glad we can get out there, and hopefully we'll be able to help James out with his tile plaster repairs and everything going on. So, with everybody else, what do you have going on? We can help you out. Let's jump into our middle hour break here. But don't forget, 314-436-7900. Call, text, get your questions in now. We'll help you out. Let's help you get started out in the new year. We'll have plenty more for you right after these messages. Welcome back. Home Improvement Show right here. Rich Orris here for you today. We've got plenty of time for everybody, having some really good conversations, great questions. 314-436-7900 finds me. You can call, get on with me. You can text in a question, whatever suits your fancy. We've got it going for you today, and we've got a lot we can go over. I do have a text question that did come in, so Don't forget, you can jump in and do that again, 314-436-7900. This question's about bathroom sink drain. Apparently, they're replacing the vanity, the top, the sink, and the new vanity, the sink's more centered, and in the old one, it was off to the side. And asking about not violating code to get that drain moved. And it would be ideal, the ideal way to do it before you put the vanity in, if the vanity has a back, would be to get inside the wall and actually reconnect that drain where it comes out through the wall, move it over to where it comes out to the center. That's what a plumber's going to guide you to doing, bringing it in, having just the one turn is a good deal. But if you're going to put a 45, and that was the question, is can I put a 45-degree angle just to get that running over to get to where I need to be? If you're going to do that, that's fine, and that will work fine if you do it inside the cabinet right where it comes out of the wall. So you're basically doing it behind the P-trap, between the P-trap and the wall. What you don't want to do is try and do anything like that from the actual bottom of the sink drain to that P-trap. There's not a good way to do that, and it's a lot better if that water can just kind of fall straight down, hit that P-trap, loop around, and then start draining away. They do make P-traps, and they make like an extension piece that's kind of like the flexible, where you can shift the thing over to one side. You can kind of angle it and angle it back up, and it's kind of like an accordion plastic flex tube thing. I would never recommend, I'm describing this so you know what not to do, I would never recommend using one of those, because that's where you're going to get, it slows that water down before it gets to that P-trap. It can clog up and stuff will stick to it. You get enough bathroom products and hair and debris sticking to the inside of those pipes and everything without a corrugated kind of rippled piece in the mix there, and it is a thinner plastic, so if you're ever doing anything trying to clean it, you might even just break it. It can shift and kind of crack. So that's, they make products that can make these things happen, but it's not necessarily the correct to code way to do things. So good question asking that, and good for you to want to try and keep things to code and get things right. The thought is there, and that's great. And if you're going to do that 45, I think you'll be fine. You just want to do it behind the P-trap, shift everything over and make sure that drain's coming straight down off of that sink. And good for just getting the place updated and doing the work. You know, there's a lot of work like that we can do ourselves. And thinking of, if you're so ambitious, and thinking of the new year's coming on, so has anyone considered making a list, kind of making a new year's resolution for your, to improve your home in 2026? What are your thoughts? It is a good idea to go ahead and do that. Not all resolutions have to be about you and about losing weight and about eating better and all of that. You can have some resolutions for your home and what you're going to do to keep it up. What do you want to start with? One of my favorites for everybody is to start off simple, because working on your home can be a long process. It can take some time. It needs effort. So if you start off smaller and really just maybe start off with organizing, decluttering, tackling one room at a time, and just setting some goals to kind of declutter each room throughout the year, pick a room a month and kind of spread it out, and You can invest in some storage units, storage bins, shelvings, organizers to kind of keep everything tidy. It's a great thing to do, and a well-organized, tidy home is a well-maintained home to almost everybody's eyes. And another thing I would say, and that is adopt kind of a one-in, one-out rule, where for every new item you bring into the home, donate or discard an old item. And that will kind of help keep the clutter down and keep things changing and moving and getting through it well. So another thing you could look at is set a course to resolve and catch small problems early as you can. Fix things while it's cheap, while it's small. So just looking at going around and visually checking out the house, looking for small leaks, minor cracks, getting on them early, Kim calling in with the porch isn't even 1 year old, and get on it quick, right on top of it. It's like, okay, why is this happening, and is there something I should be doing about it? It's always good to get on it absolutely right away. Thinking about your priorities, maybe making energy efficiency. That's a good New Year's resolution for your home. Make that a priority, and there you can still start off small, and you can just seal and caulk and seal some air leaks and upgrade some weather stripping. Go around in the coldest part of winter and look and feel around your doors and windows, and take a lighter and see if the flame's moving as you go around the window or door. You can take a piece of paper and shut it in the door or shut it in the window, and then see if you can pull that piece of paper out really easily. That can kind of test and let you know where it might be a good place to upgrade some of that weather stripping. And then just checking the furnace, and then maybe having your insulation checked or improved, seeing what's there, just going up and looking around and seeing how the insulation is in the attic. You might notice low spots and if animals have been in or not, and then you can get all that taken care of. And it's a good idea just to start to make the plan. So don't panic, but plan your remodel. So just get in the habit of planning projects early, locking in who you're going to use, getting them on board right away. That way you can avoid more emergency pricing when you're just stuck and your water heater's broke and they're in there and you need one right away and you don't have a lot of time to think about different types of water heaters, changing them. So if you plan these projects out, it can save some money and some stress on you going ahead and getting that done ahead of time. Stay ahead of that maintenance. So consider maybe that being your resolution for your home this year. So there's a lot to think about with all these home resolutions. A big one that I would like to kind of go over and maybe in a little more detail too is just not waiting things out, not just kind of going, well, we're going to wait and see things change. We're going to wait and see if prices come down. We're going to wait and see if timing gets better. There's a lot of that going on in our industry for a lot of different reasons. And there's a lot more reasons to go ahead and at least get started and get the planning done and find out the information. And then you can make a really good educated decision on those plans for moving ahead, to hold off, to not, to, you'll just have more ammo and see how comfortable you are and be able to make decisions to get through it. So we can pick up on a little bit more of that and the reasons to move things quicker in the next segment. But hey, I'm here for you. Don't forget, 314-436-7900. Call, text, whatever you're fancy. We'll help you out today. We're going to take a short break and more home improvement right after this. Right, we're back. Final segment of just the first hour. So don't forget, we've got a whole nother hour for everybody. We'll have 97.1 coming in on the second hour also. So we'll have more people. Let's get some calls. Let's get some questions in. 314-436-7900. Don't forget to join the fun today. And we just had a text come in about asking about new windows. They're considering replacing their windows next year, and they're curious about what factors should they consider for the window design and then the company to install them. And if you've ever listened to this show before and heard me talk about window installation, there's a lot of detail there. So the company and the installation type we'll get into in a second here. But looking at the window design and the window type, you definitely want to think about not just the home's architectural style, but also the neighborhood and what's the style and the fit for the neighborhood. So, because you can dress up from vinyl to wood clad windows. But sometimes when you're in certain areas, certain neighborhoods, going to like a vinyl window would be kind of dressing down. So you want to make sure you're considering the home and the whole neighborhood and picking out whether you're using a vinyl or some kind of fiberglass composite or wood clad in the home for the new windows. So definitely considering that. And then thinking about the size and the proportions, how do they fit? In a lot of older homes, you can't always get the same design. They might not make a picture window as big as they used to for several different reasons. So having someone that can really show and understand what works and fits is a big deal. And then considering what type of style and operation do you want? Is it a double hung? Is it a casement so that you don't have the middle bar and you can see out more? And you can mix and match these throughout the home also. So a slider, there's different types of window operating, how they operate and how you see through them to consider. And then do you do any grids? Divided lights, does the neighborhood call for divided lights where you live? There's a lot of that to consider. And then, of course, the color and the finish is back to that architecture of the home. What's the siding? How does it fit in? There's a lot to consider there. And then for the company, they need to think about the frame thickness and how all that works out when replacing those windows. But now getting into the company to install the windows is also getting into the type of installation. So there's a type of installation out there that 99% of window installation companies do not do. I've seen most everybody does a typical replacement window where they pull out a window, they leave the siding on the house, they rip everything apart, and sometimes they leave the frame, sometimes they rip that frame out kind of from behind that siding, and then you install a pocket fit window that doesn't really attach to the wall. It's smaller than the opening. you shove some insulation in it, you cap it with some metal, and you caulk it. But that doesn't deliver the same protections as installing the window like they did when they built the home and installing in what we call a new construction style window. So if you have siding on your home that's not stone or brick, and I have a home in Illinois right now, I just visited about a week ago, and the windows were actually, the windows were installed okay. The stone around, the stone and the sidings around the windows were installed too tight, and now we're considering taking all this stone off of the house to install new windows, get them right, and reinstall, fix all this stone to make this actually work out. So how that window installation gets put in, when what I like to offer is a full absolute replacement with a new construction style window that has nailing fins that's put in the same manner than it was when the house was built. So if you have vinyl siding, if you have wood siding, you're taking off the siding from the wall to put the window in, attach it to the wall, wrap it, flash it. There's a lot of work that happens around the outside of these windows to make them watertight and airtight. And I can truly say of all the homes I've visited all for years now, where they put replacement windows in, I've heard one time since 2008 of a company that did something the same way that we would have. They didn't do all the windows that way, but they did the rear atrium stacked up windows. They said, you need to flash them right. You need to do that. It's the only time I've ever heard that somebody did that right on any visit that I've had. So we can get a little more into this into the next hour of the best way to get that installation in. We're going to get into our news break here, but hey, for everybody out there, don't forget 314-436-7900. We'll be here for you in the next hour. So get ready. More to come after this.